In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's in weeks like this that Psalm 139 just help you take a deep breath. We're starting our sermon series on This Is My Story and how our stories are really God's stories. And today the focus is this, that if not for the love of God, our story would not be. And you can take that individually or you can take it corporately, but if not for the love of God, our story would not exist. If you think back to your grade school English classes, when you'd have to write compositions, you can roll your eyes, I know, because that was a long time ago and it was miserable when we had to do it. When you think back to your old grade school English classes and we had to write compositions, every story starts with what? Well, those are some of them. Start with once upon a time, but before you can put pen to paper, what do you have to have? An idea. Yes, a pencil. Thank you. No, you have to have an idea. There has to be a dream. There has to be a thought. There has to be an image. There has to be something to entice you to write. In this instance, the dream that starts our stories, my story and your story and this story and that story, the dream that begins each of our stories is not an earthly one, but rather belongs to God, the creator of all things visible and invisible, as the Nicene Creed teaches us. In Psalm 139, the psalmist just kind of spills it out because it's like David has had this revelation that this is how cool God is. He says, Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You know what I'm going to do before I even think about doing it. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. It's a little scary, if we're honest, to think that there is a deity out there who knows what we're going to say before we even know we're thinking about going to say it. Amen? Amen. So, this is the part where we say God is in the byline, right? The byline being who wrote the book and all this good stuff. Or in some of our cases, the volumes. Because if I was writing my story, we'd be on volume 3 by now. I like words. Anyway, we put God in the byline. We put ourselves in the also written by, the also starring, the co-authored, the with so-and-so. But if we as Christian people, if we as faithful people, we as followers of the one true God, we put him in the byline because it's his dream. Our existence, our story, our path is his dream. And it's wonderful when human dreams and human thoughts and that kind of thing line up with his dream, but it becomes a much easier way of doing things when we understand we are not in control of the ultimate destination. It becomes much easier to understand that when we finally hit publish on that book, it is not our golden thread running through it. It is God's. The psalmist continues that there is no place where we can hide from God. Not a single place. We could be down in the grave. We could be up in heaven. We could be in the light. We could be in the dark. We could be hiding behind the bush. We could be hiding behind the tree. God is going to find us. He's really good at hide and seek. Mostly because there's no place we can hide where he won't find you. Even to that part where we are truly hidden. In those early months of pregnancy, when those first months when we were in our mother's womb, when nobody else knew, God knew. There's a dream there. And the dream, as much as we dream, as much as we fantasize about what our life may look like, what our path in this world may be, what decisions we make, whether those are God's choices for us or our own, whether they bring us to our path or take us away from it, the dream is still His. The creation is still His. And there is no place that we can hide. There is no thought that he doesn't already know. There is not a word we're going to speak that he has not already said, yep, she's going to say that. The same is true that our God does not just stop us from saying those things. That's not how God works. Because our God also gave us free will and the chance to make a choice. And those are the times we talked about a couple weeks ago. Those are the times where here's God's path, and those are where we go over here, and then weave over here, and then, oh, we go along with it, and then weave over here, and come back over here. It's okay. I've said that so much this week that it's beginning to lose meaning, but it truly is okay. Because where my purple thread is running here, somebody else's blue thread is running alongside of it. And somebody else's yellow thread is coming along. And somebody's green one and red one and pink one. All in this tapestry of humanity. And there are parts in our story and in the dream where God has said, oh, well, let's run this part over here and run it with these people for a while. Then when somebody dies and their thread is finished, it's kind of tied off. Said, okay, that part in the tapestry is done. It all starts with the dream, though, and it all starts with God's dream for us and for humanity. The psalmist says here, it says, God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you. There is no possible way that we can know what God is dreaming or the totality of God's dreams. The God who created everything from the mountains to little gnats and all points in between, his plans are incomprehensible. Our human minds cannot comprehend them. They are beyond our capabilities. And God's been dreaming a whole lot longer than any one of us has been walking this planet. It's kind of cool. And by kind of cool, I mean incredibly awesome. Because in the macrocosms of it, the whole big picture of God, that the God in charge of everything would take the time to dream about you and you and you and them and me. Is pretty darn impressive. There's how many billions of people on this planet? And God dreamt the plan for every one of them. This week, I want you to remember and I want you to hold on to and I desperately want you to think about and reflect on just how special you are. It's a different kind of thing. And I know normally that my normal MO is to try not to think about myself because ego will trip you up every time. But I, honest to God, this week I want you to think about just how special you are. Not just to me, not just to this community, but to the God who created you. And when you think about that, I want you to go a step farther and say, wow, how is it then that I can let this little earthly stuff trip me up? How is it then that I'm going to let these human things trip me up? Because I've got God on my side. I've got God who dreamed me into existence before the world was created. I've got God who knows my every move, my every waking thought, and knew them before time began. It's impressive, people. It is so, it's more beautiful than the most beautiful sunrise or sunset. It is more joy-giving than the laughter of children. It is more moving and motivating than the most beautiful thing, the most awe-inspiring thing you could ever think of. This thought that God dreamed you into existence and that God has a plan and a purpose for you. You are special to me. I won't lie about that. But more than being special to me, you are special to the one who created you. Your story has purpose. Your story did not just happenstance along. It has a purpose. You have a reason for being here. What an awesome and wonderful gift that truly is. And how awesome and amazing it is that we get to be together for a while. Thanks be to God. Amen.